Blog Talk Radio.
Why, good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. We are, you know, we're just grateful to God. He is mighty. He is righteous. He is loving and faithful. He is our God. And because He has chosen us, Lord Jesus, we enjoy the benefits of our inheritance through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are just so grateful for the love of the Father that sent us the Son. And we in the Fellowship of Learners on our Friday Fellowship would just want to be humbly grateful to God and thanking Him for His great grace, His great mercy, His precious Holy Spirit who leads us, who guides us, and who has brought us to a place of learning where we can come together with one another and be blessed in an abundance of life through truth that is revealed through the things that we have read and we have put to study. We are currently looking at Supernatural Transformation by Guillermo Maldonado. And it is a book about the central organ of the human body, and that is the heart. It circulates the blood through the whole body system, pumping oxygen and nutrients to other organs and pulling toxins from them. We are learning that as human beings, we have another heart. It is a spiritual one that is the true center of our existence. Our spiritual heart is our identity. It is the foundation of our whole being and from which our desires, designs, our purpose, our will, our thoughts, and our attitudes originate. And yet, as a result of the fall and the sinful nature, we all have symptoms of heart disease. And we need to know how to become spiritually heart healthy. As the scripture says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's from Jeremiah 17 and 9. Every spiritual, mental, and emotional matter, and many physical ones, are rooted in the heart. The state of our spiritual heart affects all of our daily living. Therefore, the condition of our heart will be the condition of our life. We have read those things through his book up until this point. We have understood the flow of the elements of man being three parts. The first being his body, then the inner circle being his soul, and where lies his will, his thoughts, and his emotions. In the outer circle of the body is the sensual center of man, where he experiences, his physical life. And then the inner circle is the heart, the place of identity. There lies either the God of glory or his enemy, Satan. And there's just no two ways about it. And we are coming to understand the symptoms, the signs, and the solutions to the various conditions of the heart. We looked at a heart of unbelief. We looked at a heart of we looked at hardened hearts, and we are learning that there is a strategy that God has. He's put it forth in his word. He has released us an understanding of that strategy. He tells us that we are to keep our hearts. We are to hide his word in our hearts. We're to watch over our hearts. We are to evaluate the treasures of our heart. We are to guard the gates of our heart and monitor what flows through. And then we are to submit our hearts and commit them to the Lord. And as his truth is revealed to us through his holy promises, the ones that we have chosen to select and to be surrounded in, almost like being submerged in water, we want to submerge our life in the promise, depending only on that promise to give us that flow through our hearts, to give us that flow through our emotions, to give us that flow through our thoughts and our thinking process, and to influence how we see and hear and interact with the physical world. And so we were challenged to get a scripture of promise that we would choose to use to divide, which says that the Word of God is powerful as a two-edged sword, dividing asunder. The author uses that scripture, I do believe, in today's study, dividing asunder the spirit from the soul. Remember, the spirit is where the Lord is on the throne of, and the soul is where our emotions are. So separating us from the influence, those things that influence our emotions in corruption when before we receive the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And so as our process of perfection is unfolding, we realize that there are just some ways, there are some ways only that it can happen, and that is applying the Word of God. Applying the Word of God. So we were challenged to come up with a promise. Come up with a promise that we would use as we would process our events and the words that come into our lives from week to week, so that the lesson that we had received through our fellowship of learning the week before could be submitted and cemented in our spirit, take deep root, and so that we would receive the strategy of the Lord, how to submit our unbelief to God, the heart of unbelief, how it, when we see it resisting change, what we are to do, what our attitude should be. All of these things are equipping tools for us to monitor and to evaluate, and to guard, and to tie the word in our hearts, to find out the condition of our hearts. The author shared with us the fact that our hearts are received, they receive love, but they also transmit, and that which they transmit is an indication of the health of our heart. And if there is any areas of blockage because of hardening of the heart or unbelief of the heart or offense of the heart that will keep us from flowing in the truth and in the commandments of the Lord, and keep us from being obedient to the voice of the Lord, keep us in a place of surrender and service and worship. All of these things are controlled by the condition of our hearts. So which is why we have surrendered in this season to the teaching of the transformation, supernatural transformation, supernatural being and bringing into our understanding that this is not something we can do on our own, but it is something we have to seek the higher power. We have to seek the wisdom and the knowledge of God and the strategy of the Lord to bring it about in our life. Well, this is what he has commanded, and that which he asks us to do, he empowers us to do it. And so as a result of that, my scripture became the one out of Ezekiel 36 and 26, which says, and this is the Lord speaking, this is the Heavenly Father giving us a great and life-changing promise. This is the promise that I have chosen, and that is that he said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so I find the comfort, the peace, and the power in this promise. So I know it is not of my own strength. It is not by might. It's but it is by his spirit that this will happen for me. And this will happen. He said, I will give. He has committed to me. It is a blessing to be under the commitment of the God of glory. We have to sometimes understand just who we're in this with. And we so often look horizontally at one another and leaders and our circumstances and our family, and those things are they weigh a priority in our decision-making process. But we need to start to be more vertical in our approach to the natural and the physical, looking to him because he has made a commitment to us, and he is a faithful, and he is powerful, all-powerful, and he'll do what he said he will do. He is God, and he cannot lie, and this is the promise he has given. And so this promise alleviates areas of unbelief when they would come. As we're reading and as we're being exposed to truths, and it's like, you know, well, I don't know, maybe, and, you know, I tried it, it didn't work, and so-and-so just gets on my nerves, and how can I? And, you know, it's like most of the things that God asks us to do, we don't do, because we don't believe his promise. He has made promises to us, and we look at the promise and we decide, well, I don't know if God can really keep that promise. He said, I won't withhold any good things from you. He says, I have a plan for you, a good plan for you to prosper and be of good health. And we say, well, I'm not sure his plan will work. I'm not sure he really did have those stripes to heal me. I'm not sure he coming to set the captives free. He probably set some free, but I don't know that he can set me free because I feel hopeless. And when I feel trapped in a place where I don't feel like I can receive the freedom and the truth and the power of it in my life. And so as a result, we have decided to believe that lie that the deceiver gave from the time of the garden. He said it, but that's not quite what he means. That's the way the enemy deceived our first parents into not flat out saying God lied, but just saying, well, you know, he really didn't mean that. You really won't surely die. And so it's interesting because that lie that the enemy told, he couldn't help but to tell it because he's so limited. He doesn't know the full truth. He is limited in what he can tell us because he doesn't know everything. He only knows so much. And so that which he is imparting to us, he's also imparting to us in his ignorance and in his fear. And so therefore we have to sit down, so I'm going to believe him. You know, how much does he really know? Do we question the source? You know, where did he come from? Where did this voice come from? Where did this principle that I am depending and living my life by, where does it come from? Who started this? Who said it? And who are they? And where are they now? And what power do they have? And so we have to start questioning these things, questioning the attack of the enemy, questioning the voices that have, steered our thinking and our emotions and even our desires. They form certain pictures that we feel we must have and that we cannot really function real well unless we have them. There are certain things that we are willing even to sacrifice on behalf of the Lord in order to get them because we're really not sure that he can do all that he has promised us he can do. And then it may be that we just don't know what all his promises are and that he does have a promise to cover every area, every situation, every circumstance that you might ever encounter because he is such a thorough God. When he made that commitment to us, he made that commitment and he fulfilled it through sending his son. And he said, now just to make sure that you can have a confidence in me, I'm going to send my son and he is going to endure everything that you endure. And you're going to see as I deliver him, as I empower him, as he is victorious in every situation by every time choosing me, trusting me, trusting my promise, that you can then have evidence that I will do this for you as well. And so how much of the things that God has been trying to share with us have we said, no, I don't believe you. I believe that's a lie because every time we disobey, that's what we're telling the Father. And so it's interesting when it's put that way and when the way the author presents it to us and causes us to then do some of those to put in motion the strategy of the Lord, which says, okay, let me evaluate some things, okay? Let me monitor what's coming out so and what's going in so I understand what's influencing, what's flowing through my spirit, into what's flowing through my spirit into my soul where my thoughts, my thinking, and my emotions are. And how can I tell? We can tell because as we guard the gates of our hearts, we see what monitoring, what flows out, and those are the indications, whether they're the encouragement that the Lord is faithful and he is doing what he has promised, or where we have fallen short. And then even in that, he has such a simple plan, such a wonderful plan, a perfect plan. He says all we have to do then is to gives us the framework to renounce and replace, renounce that which comes out that's not right, that doesn't believe, that has called God a lie, renounce that lie of the enemy, renounce it, but replace it with the promise and the truth. And that's where we see we have the exercise as it related to a search for significance. And we have a little guideline, a little cheat sheet, if you will, where it shares with us that when you, one of the lies of the enemy is covered, any and all of the lies of the enemy actually, is covered by a word of God. And so that word of God is the place that we have to get to hide, go and recover it out of his word, find the address, get it, and use it to allow it to divide from our soul that influence that was built because of the lie of Satan. And so we receive this freedom. Remember, he came to set the captives free. Free from a performance trap, free from believing we have to do it ourselves. We have to work. Remember the four sons, the different mindsets they had when they had sin. And so we want to build on those things. We don't want to just read them and then put them aside, but remember them and apply them as we go forth. And so we want to not be the son that tries to build his way back to the father's house, going up the river by putting stones together, trying to make a headway that's a million miles away by 1 inch at a time, when he can never do it because he doesn't have the power. Or the one that just sits and says, well, I am where I am, and so I am who I am, so I will sit here and I will judge others. You know, I'll be critical. I'll have a heart that is not accepting, a heart that is not forgiving, a heart that points fingers and points blame. We're looking at the 33 conditions that were put forth in the Sermon on the Mount of the change that has to take place in our hearts, in our thinking, in our minds, and in the way we interact with others, which was the next scripture that we were supposed to come up with. And that was the scripture that would help us to then practice and allow to nurture and exercise this new truth and this new faith by being available as servants to one another. And so my scripture for that was coming out of Hebrews 3:13, and it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you by hardening through the deceitfulness of sin. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we are compelled, I am compelled, to every day do something that will edify and build. He says, while it is called today, not putting it off for tomorrow, not waiting for a conference or waiting to word from the word, but every day, everything we do, everything I do, I want to be able to monitor it so that it is pointing to God, so that it is tearing down any lies that would come my way through the word, through sharing with one another, because it's so easy for us to see the problem in other people. And it's easy for us to want to give a word of encouragement. But in doing so and in doing that, we encourage ourselves, and we also correct ourselves. We correct ourselves by shoring up the path we're on with the truth so that we don't stumble and fall. So you're all live to close off mute and share your scriptures this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning, Elder.
My scripture is, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. And that's Isaiah 48:17. And the other scripture is, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing.
1 Peter 3:8-9.
Amen. Anybody else?
Okay.
Good morning, Elvis.
Good
morning,
Elvis.
No, I just said elders are in the house.
Oh, I always kind of feel that my scripture seems like it's so out of line with the whole heart thing, but, you know, I always go back to Proverbs, and where it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And for me, this, two things, let me just back up and say this. that I just want to say this morning that I certainly appreciate you. I don't know whether, or I hope, I should say, that those that are on the line that have the opportunity to share as we share and certainly as you share, that you are gifted in a way that you can take the information, even the information that we're reading now, but I mean more specifically to be able to succinctly just lay out what God requires of us, how we need to look at it. I know I'm mixing some stuff here with, I'm thinking of a prophet saying last night about being relevant, that there is none of us on this line have any excuse, will not be able to stand before a holy God and say that we don't really understand, unless somebody had some kind of cognitive stuff going on, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just in an everyday, general kind of situation where we sit under teaching and clear explanation of what is required, and when we don't do that is required, how that becomes sin for us, not just in this book, but just in the culmination of all of the things that we have read. I think that you are just uniquely gifted for what you do in this hour. And I don't mean that. I'm not just trying to, just really puff you up. But just as I listen, it is like I have in my, whatever, I'd say at least good 45 good years of really trying to be in God's Word. It is rare that you come across people who can really just break it down, set it up, tell you, one way or the other, not really having to embellish or be clever or crafty or lend to itching ears. Anyway, that's a blessing for me. I just wanted to just share that. I don't even know if people know where I'm going in my head with that. But,
amen.
It is definitely,
amen,
it is definitely
amen.
A joy. It is rich. It is encouraging every Friday. When I've read the lesson, when I haven't read the lesson, God always speaks through you, and I just want to encourage you on your due diligence that people are listening, and getting and receiving. And so many of the times, things that I hear, it just makes it so much easier to share that with a brother or a sister, or I can just see, how all of the things, it's almost like a tapestry as we talk about the one another's, as we talk about the heart, but as we talk about all of the things, the garden, the fruits of the Spirit, the love and perception of a shepherd, a good shepherd, the good shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
I certainly feel and get the shepherding that you give us. And I know you talk about not being a pastor, but you definitely are a pastor. You have a pastor's heart, even though you might not have a pastor's patience, but you really do have. You really do have a pastor's heart. And so I thank you for that. And back to the very first thing, that was a long way around. But I really felt that it was needful. The whole idea of the scripture, that scripture in Proverbs speaks to me, because no matter where I am, whatever I am doing, whatever the situation is, then it gives me that assurance and that expectation that the Lord is going to give me whatever I need to do in that moment, whatever that may be. And I certainly know that if I don't move the way he wants, it's certainly not because he is not capable and willing and speaking to me, that it is because I have moved myself. I have gone to one of those different options. I have allowed my heart to, you know, become calloused in a particular area, you know, maybe because things aren't moving as fast as I think they should. Maybe things haven't been, you know, maybe as easy as I think they should, whatever the case may be. But, you know, just that clarification and that delineation of this is sin for the believers, because we know, and he has already told us that in the gifts that he gives us freely, that we all have a measure of faith, you know, and we know that he will speak to our unbelief as well. Anyway, I'm going, but I just want to say that. God bless you.
Amen.
Well, thank you. You have been a blessing. And I have to, glory to God, when I wake up, just when I wake up, and the Friday fellowship is on my mind, I realize that it's not me, but God so loves us, this intimate group, and you just don't understand how much he loves this group of learners. He has a plan for us, and honestly, he goes outside of me and then uses me, because I be learning more than y'all be learning. Just on that, in the morning, and it just makes me understand just how much and how important each person is to God. He is such a personal God. He has such a personal love for everybody. And so often we can sit in a big group, in a church, and that sort of thing, and we feel the love of God. We feel the flow as a body, as a congregation, you know, as an assemblage of people. But he wants to come in our life, which is everybody's home right now, individually, loving on us with his truth, because he knows this truth is going to heal those challenges that are coming and those things that have passed that have wounded us. He doesn't want to see us wounded. He doesn't want to see us saddened. He wants us to be so full of joy because of who he is and what he has for us and what he has given to us. And he hates the enemy in our life. And he wants us to hate him and never trust him, never want to listen to him another time, feeling those things that have come from our precious Father to us. And so I am so encouraged by just the flow of love from heaven to all these telephone numbers and how he will reach us. I don't know where we are. He's going to reach us, and he'll come to where we are. You know, okay, you can't get out the fence, you can't go here, you don't do that. You know, maybe you don't have a car, whatever it is, you're tired. He understands. He said, don't worry, I'm going to come right to where you are. Actually, all I'm going to do is dial the number. And, you know, some of you bring that dial number, put it on C down, and it says one number. But he said, I'm going to get to you because I cannot stay separated from you. And I can't allow you to stay separated from me. And so I'm going to give you these truths because they are going to tear down the barriers that makes your life difficult. And he doesn't want us to have a difficult. He wants us to have success. He says, above all, that we prosper, and be of good health. Can you imagine what good health is in the heart of God? We can think of good health, but when the Creator says good, not health, health is just being perfect the way he has it, but he says good health. So that's beyond what the scripture says, more than we ever think, hope, or ask for. We can't even imagine, because his thoughts are so much higher than ours, and all he asks us to do is to trust him, to believe what he said, what he promised, and trust that he will do it. I think in a lot of ways, excuse me, the enemy wants to get us to a place where we don't accept it because of who we think we are, because of the understanding, the limited understanding of who we think we are, which is why he needs us to be supernaturally transformed, and he's going to do it. because he has all of the super. Okay, he has it all. He is almighty, all powerful, all knowing, all present, and he is going to make sure he uses his resources to perfect his children. And so we just rejoice. We are exceedingly glad. We are in the heart of God. And I thank God for that. I thank God even for just an opportunity to, it, as we were sharing last night, we've been invited by the King of Glory to share in his strategy for the world. We've been invited. And so as we are already have our invitation to the Great Supper, he's given us an invitation to go in the byways and the highways and bring more people to his table so that they can be blessed as we are blessed. One of the questions that came to mind was, in the condition of our heart, the hardened and the offense, is to close your eyes and get a person in mind that you have struggled with, you labored with, you toiled with, you talked with, whether it's a child or a worker or, you know, whatever, a friend, a family, whatever, and you've labored with a stranger, a neighbor, you know, someone that you don't know personally, but maybe you know them as it relates to the media and that sort of thing, and you just don't, you know, understand what they're doing, what they are, what I know, what. And it's like, but you take, close your eyes and envision that person burning in hell because we didn't want to persevere in our reaching out to one another. And that's a horrible sight. That's a horrible thought. One of the most painful things in grief, and Elder Deborah does that whole ministry type five stages and what. But one of the most difficult moments of thought for individuals that lose loved ones is, or the most difficult, or the, what makes it the easiest, and that is having the assurance that person is not in hell or not really sure, are they? And was it something I couldn't have done instead that could have changed that? And so we have that opportunity to now. And in order to do that, excuse me, we cannot do it without an obedient heart, a heart that is willing to be surrendered to God and to go, what is it? It said the last mile, the extra mile, go however long it takes to labor in love with one another and to desire for one another the very best that God has. And not just settle for mediocrity, but wanting what he wanted. He gave a lot for us in order for us to have this abundant life. And to have it, as the author shared, is his victory and his success in ministry came purely because he was obedient. It says the answer is always the same, obedience to God. There may be other factors, but knowing obedience to God is always the main factor. Each time God has asked us to do something, we have to obey, regardless of the cost. We have to see him as faithful in his reward and in his accomplishment, and we have to be the witness of that to the world so that they'll believe it as well. And so he shares that every day, thousands of lives are saved because saints have become obedient. And I think about the fact that there was a time when I was, when that person that you imagine that's so difficult and just won't love the Lord and serve the Lord and go the way the Lord would have them to go, there was a time that person was me. Yet someone labored in prayer and in exhortation, in teaching, in correction, until I was brought to the truth and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us not be weary in well-doing, even though it says we will reap. We don't just reap, but the world reaps. It says that the earth is groaning. It's groaning for us. It needs us to stand up and to surrender ourselves so that the flow of God can ebb all over the earth. So just like water coming out of a, you know, over a waterfall, how it falls and then it just spreads out. That's what should be coming forth out of us. So God's mandate for us is to form. He says, go and make disciples, but it's to form leaders. And I looked at this as a matter of, like we're going through this ordination, and we do it every year, but it says God has taught us to, according to the pattern in which he has formed and equipped us. And so in other words, we have to know the pattern of our life. We have to know our spiritual DNA. We have to know the anointing that comes from the Father at birth. We have to understand the anointing that comes from the Son to edify the church. And we have to understand and know the anointing on our life through Holy Spirit so that it will be manifested in the earth realm. So I love it when he says, according to the pattern which he has formed and equipped you. So in other words, he's formed it, it's in you, you've been equipped with it. Now you have to allow that pattern to flow. You have to allow that pattern to be brought out, to be pulled out. You know, some people, when they're ministering, they say it was pulling. They feel the pulling. And so we are to respond to that pulling, because that's the spirit to spirit. It's something that's in our spirit that needs to be put out and flowing into the spirit of those that are anointed to hear our voice. And so that obedient heart puts us in a place where that is the function or the motivation of our life and the condition of our heart in wanting it for one another. It says every heart transformed by the supernatural power of God manifests obedience as one of the key characteristics. Obedience is not easy. In fact, making the choice to obey is one of the greatest difficulties believers encounter when they begin to draw near to God in a desire to submit their whole life to him. And so remember, this is becoming that's the place that it becomes difficult. And one of the things I think I gave me this week is just talking to saints and hearing all that we're encountering and knowing that these are the end times and we have a certain responsibility to not be a part of those that are falling off because of a lack of love or love growing cold. But it says as we draw near, and I'm going to say not so much to God, but what's he saying here? Near to your desire to submit your whole life. So this is the desire that's in the soul. As we draw near in our soul realm, remember it's a Holy Ghost takeover of our soul, our emotions, our will, and our thought, and it's coming from that inner heart where Christ is on the throne. And so as he is infiltrating, if you will, and shaping our giving us this new creature that the author is going to share, putting off the old man and giving us those desires, and those desires are going to then start meeting warfare. Because the minute the Lord is taking over our hearts and those things that have been there, have had a seat of authority, and they're being disposed, then war starts. I say it's a worldwide war, okay, in the lives of the saints. And it's okay because the war has been won already. And the strategy for it is what he is giving us today. So obedience flows from a love for God. So the closer our desire is for the more of God, when you're just not satisfied for where you were, you want more. That's all he wants. All he is looking for is the desire. And as that desire is like opening a floodgate, that desire lifts up whatever was blocking his flow in your life. That desire alone is his invitation to come in a more intimate, closer relationship with you, sharing with us those things of intimacy that brings us revelation and knowledge so that we can put off the old man, even knowledge to know it is the old man and its source. And so as a result, we no longer want it as a part of us. He says, when he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, lack of the knowledge and the revealed knowledge of God that gets into our soul through the Spirit that has been surrendered the more and more to him and desiring him to take it over. Now, as we go through, it says what we have to remember that obedience also flows from faith in God. That faith in God has to come through a faith in the promises of God. So you got to know the promises. You got to know what he says. You have to have one that you're holding on to so that it will take root in your heart so that faith can flow from there. When faith flows from that, it causes you to believe. And when you believe, it causes you to trust. And as you trust, you're able to have faith to believe the next thing that he is saying to you. The next voice, that's how obedience is growing. Total obedience, absolute surrender, the school of obedience, all these things coming into play, being brought together in our daily practices so that we can see this really Holy Ghost takeover of our soul, which will then influence our body. Our body and the body is the part of man that interacts with it on a natural level, on the natural physical thing. And so as this, our soul is taken over by the supernatural powers of the Holy Spirit, and then this is when we are physically raised above so many of life's circumstances. You know, the Bible says that those that love the Lord and trust the Lord, that he says, nothing can come nigh you. So in other words, because we're lifted up into a place spiritually, even physically, we're not where it can come no longer, because that physical aspect or element of our lives has been supernaturally encharged or, you know, infused with the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Lord Jesus, who has all power. And so this obedience will flow from that. There won't be any fear in doing what the Lord says. Without doubt, question, or hesitation, if he said it, you do it. If this is what God says, this is what you do. And that's the place that we want to, not want to, that is the place that we will be in because of this love and this trust that we have for him. Questions, comments, insight? I'm going to blow my nose.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Phenomenal, phenomenal. I wanted to, if it was okay, go read the scripture that he had given me this morning, as well as the love for one another. And it was from Matthew 5:43-47 from the Message Bible. And it was, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friends, and its unwritten companion, hear your enemy. I'm challenging that I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energy of prayer. But then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created self. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone regardless the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. And if you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. And then in 48 it says, in a word, what I'm saying is grow up. You're kingdom subject. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. And when I read that this morning, wow, he's been, I mean, it was everything everybody had said this morning from both the elder, you, and everything that you bring out. But just got to be real, Zabay, you had talked, I think, two subjects ago on the spirit of offense. And that the day you did that, it's like what Elder Deborah was saying, that we get the teaching, but applying it in our lives, sometimes we don't want to apply because we don't, God will show us we have a spirit of offense, a spirit of anger, unforgiveness. And when we have to deal with that, it might take months and months, and you start seeing, and he taking like an onion, all those layers off, and you start seeing your true self. And every time you keep going back and forth, that spirit keep coming. And I knew I had a spirit of offense, but I didn't understand all that it entailed until that teaching on the supernatural transformation from this book and from what you taught. And it just brought back, not to go in detail, but it just brought so many layers of things that had to be dealt with. And in his quiet time, God will give you what you need. He won't leave us ignorant. He won't leave us, messed up. He wants us to get past where we can grow and go and move on and go where, you know, and walk in our gift and our calling, our anointing. But we have to get it all out and move on. And it's a day, it's a second-by-second, moment-by-moment challenge, but it is well. And I just thank God for your teaching. I thank God for all the Fellowship of Learners and everyone, because I am learning so much, and I thank God for words from the Word, because it has truly been what I need in this season. And also with everyone who is getting ready to get ordained, everything that they've been saying on Thursday, it's like God will give us what we need when we need it, and it has been fruition and growth. So thank you all.
Amen. Amen. We praise God. We want to understand a light shining in darkness. And when we hear that, we hear it all the time. I love the song. It has very deep spiritual meaning for me when it says, he's a way maker, promise keeper, miracle worker, and he's a light in darkness. And so darkness comes when we don't have a knowledge. And so when the authors, we say, okay, what is disobedience? We know it's rebellion, it's this, it's that. But he defines disobedience. It is a hard attitude that won't allow anything or anyone to persuade us to see an issue or situation for what it really is and to respond to it appropriately. And it's like, wow. Now, that puts a whole nother spin on disobedience. So that's saying I refuse to be persuaded, which means I refuse to hear any argument, any other truth than what I think I know, okay, as it relates to this, can't nobody tell me nothing. And that just reminded me, my mother's voice echoed in my ear. She used to tell me all the time, can't nobody tell you nothing. That was, you just won't listen. And so I realized that's how God has to feel with his disobedient children. We just won't listen. And it's like, it's not that we don't know the truth, but as he said, it is a heart attitude. So in other words, it really is a condition that was given us because we were shaped in sin, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It was there. It was there. It was our nature to be disobedient. It was our nature to have this heart attitude of can't nobody tell me nothing. Because God tried to tell Adam and Eve and they didn't want to hear it, so they chose to do things their own way. Disobedience. But when you realize it's an attitude where you won't allow, not that it's, you refuse. So there is a choice here. And I love it because he says anything or anyone. So God will send so many things our way, things, situations and circumstances our way to change the attitude of our heart so that we will be obedient and we will refuse. You know how you say you can do the same thing, they just keep making the same mistake over and over and over. We refuse, just absolutely refuse. You cannot persuade me to do anything any different than the way I think it should be. And thus you end up with this battle from within, where a battle commences each time God's kingdom arrives to destroy the kingdom of darkness in the territory of a person's heart. So there's dark territory in our heart. We need the light in darkness. And this light will dispel the darkness, and then the battle is manifested to be won, okay? And that's where we kind of ended up. I didn't think we would get too far in the chapters. I'm not trying to rush through, just trying to glean everything that God has in there. And so we come to this battle from within, and knowing that this is good, that we've been warned, not warned, we've been prepared for it. We've been equipped for it because God is giving us a strategy for it. And so the next strategy is this putting off the old man. And I know that there are those of you here that remember the put on and put off. I actually went and found it. I said we need to revisit it. And this is just something we just need to all be a part of. These are all tools that God gives us to help monitor, to help evaluate, and to help guard, and to surrender, evaluate, and to watch, and to commit. Just these put-ons and put-offs with their scriptures. There are so many other put-ons. I think there's like 70-something. And it, actually, if you would like me to email you a copy of them to renew your experience with them, they're very just powerful truths that are dispelling the lie that we want to put out of our hearts and out of our souls, and as a result, transform our bodies. So, any comments, insights, inspirations? I'll read some of them then. Get put off rebellion and put on submission. Put off impatience, put on patience. Ungratitude and gratefulness. Discontent and content. Murmuring and complaining and praise. Irritation of others and perfecting in love. Put off jealousy and put on trust. Put off strife and contention. Put on peace. Put off retaliation, getting even, and return and putting on return good for evil. That was the scripture that Minister Pat read. Put off following the crowd and put on fearing God. Put off preferring people to loving your neighbors as yourself. Put off presumption of the future and put on trust in the will of God for your life. Put off losing your temper to self-control. A lot of the things that we're putting on are the fruit of the Spirit, and if it is not the actual fruit, it is a result of the fruit. Put off idle words and bridle. Put on bridling your tongue. Self-control, wrong motives and spiritual motives, evil thoughts and pure thoughts, complacency, put on zeal, laziness, put on diligence, hypocrisy, put on sincerity. Left your first love, then fervent devotion. Come back to the love of your soul. Lack of rejoicing always, always. Put on rejoicing always, remembering who God is and what his commitment has been to you. Put off worrying and fear and put on trust and faith. Put off unbelief and unfaithfulness and put on faithfulness and put on by meditation. Put off neglecting Bible study. Put off prayerlessness, obviously, and put on praise. And the list goes on and on. And in each one, there is a tool for success. But there is a method and there is a strategy that is revealed in it that we need to embrace as we put off the old man. And the old man comes with sin babies. I don't know those that remember the conference, the retreat. They had a class, sin babies. These are the things that come as a result. Excuse me. They come as a result of the lust of the flesh. Not the actual thing that you do, but just the lust for it. When Paul was sharing about the nature and the flesh, the carnal mind, the Adamic nature, the body of the sins of the flesh, just one then starts having babies. So just everything you put off, what you're putting off was connected to something else that needs to now be put off. And so the author shares with us, Christians just don't play with sin. Do not play with sin. Because it is not something that is worse than cancer, because it will continue. So it says be sober and vigilant and resist. That's our strategy. Be sober, be vigilant, and resist. And we can always wait, pray, and obey. When you hear the voice, weigh it against the word of God. You pray about it, and then you obey it. Obedience to God is not a matter of believing in Jesus or of having good conduct, but obedience to God is our heart needs to be continuously transformed if we are to remain obedient to God. So in other words, it is an attitude of the heart. Obedience is an attitude of the heart. The only power the enemy has is that which we give him when we are not under God's authority. Amen. So we will start to see from the original process by which the human heart became disobedient. next week. That's where we'll pick up the original process by which the human heart became disobedient. Understanding its root and birth will help us to understand our victory over it. Amen. So, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Any questions, comments, share? Yes.
Overseer, yes. I'm sorry, before you go, I just want to say thank you for the teaching. I certainly appreciate it.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we thank and we worship God. We honor him because he felt us worthy to be taught his word. You know, everybody ain't worthy in our book to do a lot of things. And we may even think we're above them and they can't reach us. But God's attitude is we are worthy of him and he wants us to know him. So he wants to teach his word to us. So much so till he had to give his son so that his son could come and then be crucified, raised from the grave, so that Holy Spirit could come and dwell in us. So we thank and we praise God. I encourage you to worship well this weekend and to to know that it's a worldwide war, but we have a kingdom-wide victory already won. So we do. We rejoice and we are exceedingly glad. And so we invite you to join us tomorrow at Colin Powell. There is a conference on widows but not alone, widows, divorcees, and those that have ended intimate relationships, the physical, mental, and emotional and spiritual effect it has on our lives. And then Sunday, our own Archbishop Nathaniel Isaac will be the word bearer for the anniversary service starting at 2:30 at Bethany Union Church in the Fellowship Hall, and all are invited to come out and worship the lineage, the legend, and something else of apostles. You can't remember, it's three L's. They love those alliterations. But 12 years as an apostolic house, 22 years as a church, and 32 years of her in ministry. So praise God. Come and celebrate with us the life of our apostle and our church and all that God has done through Neighbors for Christ Ministries. We are humbly grateful, and we are excited about the call on our life and on our church. Our mission and our vision is to the kingdom of God, to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, so that people will walk around this earth rejoicing and singing every time they run into another saint, just praising and worshiping the God of glory. So enjoy your worship. Come fellowship with us, and we'll meet again.
Yes, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.